I'm going to read in your hearing now, Revelation 21, verses 9 to the end of the chapter, which is verse 27. I'll be making brief reference to some of the verses prior to these verses, but my focus is going to be these verses, and I will by no means do them justice. Revelation 21, verses 9 to 27. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a jasper stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of 1 pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. May God bless what you have heard even today. You may be seated. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, there are so many ways that you show us that this book we are going to seek to open up, not just Revelation, but the entire book from Genesis to Revelation, is your word. Help us to receive it as such this morning, and to may your Spirit take what I've prepared and use it as he alone can to the edification and blessing and instruction of your people. Because, Lord, we live in difficult days. Help us to lay hold of the truth that these days will one day end for your people, whether through you saying today is the day you want someone you died for in your presence, or that ultimate day when that last trumpet sounds and your people will be together forever. Give us grace to marvel at these things, even as we ask for your strength sufficient for each day. Help us even now, in Jesus' name, amen. If I was to ask you to give me or someone else a reason or reasons, assuming that you would be able to do so or wanted to. But if I was to ask you to give me a reason or reasons that show you in these COVID mania, insane and deceitful times, that unsaved sinner man, using the word man in one of the correct ways it can be used and is used in the Bible to refer to men and women equally made in the image of God. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Truth denied and rejected in how many false churches in America today, which testifies to the truly wicked and depraved times that God has saved you out of, believer, if you confess the biblical Christ as your Lord and Savior. Wicked and depraved times that only the Savior of this wicked and depraved world has decreed for you to be living in and through before you die or he gloriously returns. And in light of the wicked and spiritually insane times that are upon us in the sovereignty of God, one can only wonder how close this devil-deceived world is to seeing the seventh angel pouring out the seventh history as we know it, ending vial revealed back in Revelation 16, verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven for the throne, saying, "It is done." That's what yet lies ahead, friends. But if I was to ask you for a reason or reasons that show you that despite sinner man's numerous, dare I say, false claims of wanting to be free, and dare I say, happy and content, I am sure that if you are being guided by the only source of absolute truth lost mankind has been given, even in these technologically advanced years of the 21st century, namely God's written word, the Holy Bible, but being guided by this one infallible and inerrant source of truth, I am sure you could give me more than one reason that shows that unsaved sinner man's making the claim of wanting to be free, of wanting to be content, of wanting to be happy, are lies. "Oh, I long to be free and happy. This is why I listen to the ever-changing ideas promoted by unbelieving men." No wonder the psalmist said in Psalm 116, verse 11, "I said in my haste, all men are liars." Now, why does he say in his haste? Well, one reason I would give for this is that there was one man, only one man, who never lied. All naturally conceived men are born liars, but the uniquely conceived man, in union with the second person of the Holy Trinity of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, never lied and willingly laid down his sinless, 100% truthful life for his believing people who have acknowledged and faced the sobering truth that they have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And one of the many ways this is displayed is by not being 100% truthful. Johnny, did you take that cookie I told you not to take? Not me, Mommy. It must have been the cat. Oh, how quickly we reveal our natural sinfulness when we realize that our parents are not omniscient. Like we thought they were, until you put one lie over on them and open up floodgates to how many more, unless the Lord has mercy on you. But lest I never get to the verses I've reached in Revelation 21, I will give one crystal clear example that despite unbelieving sinner man's claim to wanting to be free, happy, and content, that he is a liar. Why do I say this? He doesn't believe. He doesn't believe what is revealed and declared in the book of Revelation. Not only the one verse I considered last Sunday from Revelation 21, as the Lord reveals who will not enter into the new heaven and new earth, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Who believes that today? Even in the church. Now, I'm well aware that apart from the sovereign regenerating grace and mercy of God, the non-believer will continue to reject and not believe what the Lord Jesus Christ told the apostle John to write while he was imprisoned in the Isle of Patmos, in the mines in the Isle of Patmos, for the blessing and for the instruction of his believing church until he returns. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and he that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. But what a testimony to the true lying heart of the unbeliever when he says he desires to be free, he desires to be content, he desires to be happy, yet rejects the truth revealed about his true destiny, the lake of fire, as long as he continues to reject and ridicule what he is told about his lost condition from God's word of truth, the Holy Bible. But further, what a testimony to the lying unbelief of lost mankind when he is unwilling to listen and believe. Excuse me, when he is willing to listen and believe the lies of lying politicians. And if you noticed, apart from an extremely small remnant, I have just used a tautology. What is a tautology? It's saying the same thing using different words like lying and politicians. But what a testimony to the sobering, lying unbelief of lost mankind that is willing to listen to lying, demonically deceived and used politicians talking about their new world order. Have you heard that term? Talking about their new world order and now the great reset, right? Bringing in what they claim will be world peace and contentment rather than the exact opposite. All the while saying, who can understand the book of Revelation? Even as it reveals for those willing and able to receive and believe by the regenerating grace and mercy of God, what it reveals is ahead. What it reveals is ahead. For the perfected, redeemed, and blood-bought bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation throughout time, the believing church. You see, unbelieving and wicked men talk about their new world order and their great reset and seek to implement their demonic ideas. But in the face of these demonic lies, believer, speaking to those who are not afraid to confess the biblical Lord Jesus Christ as their only Lord and only Savior, I ask you, are you feeding your redeemed soul upon the truths revealed to him about the coming new heaven and new earth? Where the blood-bought and redeemed church of the Lord Jesus Christ will dwell forever with him. For as difficult as it must have been for John to have been imprisoned in the mines of the Isle of Patmos, how difficult it must have been for him to grasp, to comprehend all the apocalyptic pictures of future human history that was yet future to him as it's being revealed to him. As I've sought to show in the previous chapters of Revelation. But what a blessing it must have been, not only for him, but must it have been for all and is for all true believers since then, when going through great tribulation, when going through great tribulation and great difficulty, to realize that this fallen, depraved, wicked, gospel-rejecting world is not all there is for you, believer. But that there is a new heaven and new earth coming where righteousness will dwell forever. But how awe-inspiring must it have been for John, and should be for all subsequent believers, since John was first given the revelations of what is yet to come, for the blood-bought believing church of the Lord Jesus Christ by the revelations given to John and you in the two closing chapters of Revelation. Why do I say this? Can you wrap your redeemed mind, assuming your mind is redeemed? Can you wrap your redeemed mind around the things John has revealed to him about the coming new heaven and new earth, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem coming down from out of heaven from God? Can you wrap your mind around the glorified bride of Christ prepared as written in the opening verses of this 21st chapter that I've already looked at? But obviously what John has revealed to him and to you in verses 1 to 7 or 8 of Revelation 21 was not an adequate revelation. It wasn't an adequate revelation, as glorious as these verses are, as to what the Lord Jesus Christ wants his people until he returns to know about what yet is coming for them. Why do I say this? John is given more revelation. He is given more revelation. You are given more revelation about it in verse 9 and following, and in Revelation 21, going on into chapter 22, showing again that the chapter and verse divisions in the Bible are not inspired. To put it as simply as this, since trying to wrap your mind around the truths that are ahead for the redeemed of the Lord, revealed in so many awe-inspiring apocalyptic pictures, what will their reality be? If we have difficulty grasping what John has revealed to him, I ask you, what will their reality be? What will their reality be when what he reveals here in so many different ways becomes the living, eternal reality for everyone for whom Christ died? When they become the reality that is pictured by them and revealed by them. For why do I say you are given further apocalyptic revelation of what lies ahead for the blood-bought bride of Christ? We'll go back to verses 1 and 2 of Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. A glorious city compared to a bride adorned for her husband. What a mixing of metaphors. What a mixing of word pictures. But what does Peter call believers in 1 Peter 2:5? Ye also, as lively, are or living stones. If you're a confessing believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a living stone. How many stones have you picked up? Have you ever found a living one? No. What imagery. Or built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And don't fail to notice how the awe-inspiring relationship between Christ and his blood-bought church is illustrated in just verse 2 of Revelation 21. A bride, female and singular, prepared for her husband, male and singular. Truth under unending assault in America today. With the cult of alphabet genderism and the calling the union of those of the same sex a marriage. For John and you are being given a picture of the glorified bride of Christ, prepared for him with some, notice I said some, of the blessings for Christ's bride described in verses 3 to 5. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. But the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, does not think that this glorious revelation of what lies ahead for those he died for is enough revelation for you. Believer, that's not enough for you. Why do I say this? John and you are given more. John and you are given more revelation about the Lamb's wife, his glorified blood-bought church. Verse 9, And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He's already shown us some things about it, about the Lamb's wife, but obviously not adequate. And from verse 10 to 26, you are given further apocalyptic, further revealing pictures of the glorified church that Jesus bled and died for. For what is John told, he is going to see again at the end of verse 9. Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Okay, this idea of a bride. And how is the bride, the Lamb's wife, pictured? In verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. The glorified and redeemed bride of Christ, pictured as the heavenly Jerusalem again. But what will the heavenly Jerusalem be made up of? All the redeemed of the Lord throughout time, pictured and revealed in different ways in verses I have yet to get to. Friends, in these disturbing times that the Lord has decreed you that and I must go through, what a feast of fat things. What a feast of fat things the Lord has been pleased to give to his believing church as to what lies ahead for true believers if you were to take not just what is revealed in these verses of Revelation 21 and 22, but the entire Bible. For when the bride of the Lamb descends from heaven at the last trumpet, who is going to be caught up to be with him and with all the true believers who have preceded you if you are a part of the last generation of believers to be alive on the earth when he returns? You will be. You will be, believer. Despite how often these verses are distorted and mistaught, realize the truth of what Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 to 17. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever with the Lord. And what this means, and what this means for the glorified bride of Christ is revealed to you in the verses I have looked at and am about to look at and have yet to look at. And I confess, I'm not capable. I'm not capable of adequately opening up what John has revealed to him for what is yet ahead for true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet how many true believers in these COVID paranoid times have laid hold of these truths? Have you? Have I? How many times in the last week has your mind been occupied with the what ifs of COVID mania? And not the realities, plural, of what lies ahead for true believers in Christ is revealed to John. For what does John have revealed to him about the coming glorified bride of Christ, pictured as that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God? What will be known there in a greater way than what the current fallen heaven and earth reveals? For the current heavens declare the glory of God. But what will the Holy Jerusalem have? What will true believers be able to see, understand, and experience in a greater way than is presently possible in this sin-cursed world? Verse 11, having the glory of God. Having the glory of God. When Peter, James, and John heard God the Father declare truth about his beloved Son on the Mount of Transfiguration, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. What will it be like for all the redeemed of the Lord to be in the glorified and glorious presence of the Lord, unafraid, forever? What will it be like to be in the presence of the glorified Lord forever? This is what is being told. Having the glory of God, that's the reality. That's yet ahead. Next, John and you have something revealed about the light the redeemed of the Lord will experience, enjoy, and understand. And I confess again, friends, how does one adequately open up the truth about the glorified redeemed of the Lord in these verses? Continuing in verse 11, having the glory of God and her light was like, he's comparing what he's seeing to something that he can lay his mind on. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. John compares the light he is seeing to a jasper stone, clear as crystal. What is John seeing? Is he seeing light with the tinge of a jasper stone? Not opaque, but clear as crystal. What am I referring to? And what is being pictured? Well, if you were to do a search for jasper stones on the internet, or maybe you already know this, you're a gem expert, and I should have you up here explaining this. But if you were to do an internet search about jasper stones, what would you find is the color of jasper stones? What would you find is the color? Red. Red. The light of the New Jerusalem, clear as crystal, but dare I say, with a red tinge. What is being pictured? What is being pictured here? Is it the fact that all those there will never lose sight of the fact that they are there only because of the once shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Everything tinged with the reality of his finished sacrifice will speak to the truth that I'm there solely and utterly because of him and him alone. Because how is the Lord Jesus Christ pictured earlier in Revelation 5:6? And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. And as I was working through the truth of this verse, this was something that came back to my mind. It's something I've always wondered about. Well, not always, but maybe you've noticed this. How many funeral homes have used red-tinged lighting? Have you ever noticed that? They don't have your standard lighting. I don't know. But are they knowingly or unknowingly saying something about the one who had died, hoping he or she is a citizen of that glorious city, tinged with red lights? Friends, what will the reality be? For those there when the Lord returns. Truth being revealed and pictured for you and John. How many love gemstones, but never think of those listed later in this chapter as garnishing the foundations of the heavenly Jerusalem? But before John is shown this, what does he describe seeing? Two groups of people. Two groups of people capturing the biblical truth of completion through the use of the number 12. Verses 12 to 14, and had a great and high, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The glorified and perfected bride of Christ will be made up of those he died for, pictured here by the 12 gates and 12 foundations. The gates having the names of the children of Israel on them, and the foundations having the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. How does one discern what is being pictured by these two groups of 12? One from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. All four points of the compass are covered by the 12 gates. Three on each side, east, north, south, and west. All the redeemed of the Lord, wherever they were living in sin, north, south, east, and west of the saving cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, will come to see their absolute need of the salvation that Jesus alone can give them, and cried, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And they will enter into the New Jerusalem. There will be no empty seats at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, those Jesus died for from every point of the compass will be there. What direction of sin has the Lord saved you from, believer? But the wall of New Jerusalem, John is being shown, had 12 foundations in them. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The new heavenly Jerusalem built upon the everlasting gospel taught and proclaimed by all the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And not to get sidetracked, but who is the 12th apostle? Because none of these foundations will have the name of Judas Iscariot on it. I believe it is Paul and not Matthias. For Acts records what the apostles did to replace Judas using an old covenant practice in the casting of the lot. Luke records what they did, but you were nowhere told that this is what the risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ wanted them to do. That is, replace Judas by the casting of a lot. The Lord replaced Judas with Paul on the Damascus Road, even as he specifically chose the other 11 without the help of men. Even apostles. But to return to what John was being shown by the angel, verses 15 to 17, I can't do adequate justice to these things. But to return to what John was being shown by the angel, verses 15 to 17, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Now this is where I need the engineering skills of Larry to figure out the dimensions of this glorious city that's being pictured. But this glorious city is a perfect cube. It's a perfect cube. The length, the breadth, the width, and the height are all the same. But what is that distance? 12,000 furlongs. How long is 12,000 furlongs? It's 1,500 miles. The New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles high and has a square footage of 2.25 million miles, or 2/3 the area of the United States. What is being pictured? What is being pictured by this awe-inspiring cube, this perfect cube? Dare I say it is picturing the fact that everyone there will have all the land, all the area they will need or want to worship and serve the Lord and serve Him and their glorified brothers and sisters with forever. Remember what Jesus said in John 14 to his troubled apostles, verses 1 to 3 of John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'll go to prepare a place for you. And I go, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let the demon-led great resetters talk about no one owning anything but them. They can't touch. They can't touch what the Lord is preparing for those who love him because he first loved them. And no believer in the New Jerusalem is going to be envious of whatever any other believer has from the Lord, because the Lord knows what you perfectly need, believer, to serve him and all those there. And when it is perfected for all those he died for, he will return. But John is not only given a description of the size of the city, but the size of the wall. Verse 17. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is of the angel, 144 cubits. The wall surrounding the heavenly Jerusalem is pictured here is 216 feet wide. 216 feet wide. Now, what is being pictured here by this massive wall? For no wall, even the Great Wall of China or the wall that once surrounded pagan Babylon, is 216 feet wide. Dare I say, it is a picture of the truth that nothing will be able to enter into this holy place that will be able to defile the New Jerusalem. As declared in verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter in to it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation 22:15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Oh, the folly of all the deluded leaders in the world talking about their new world order and their great reset. Because what is the new world order and great reset built upon? The sinful ideas and practices of sinful, rebellious men, none of which will be seen in the new heaven and new earth when the heavenly Jerusalem comes down from God. How gloriously glorious is what lies ahead for the redeemed of the Lord, that John is being given a picture of, an apocalyptic picture of. For as I mentioned earlier, although I will end at verse 27, the description of this gloriously glorious place goes on into the last chapter of Revelation chapter 22. But what is the next thing John and you are shown? Verse 18, in the building of the wall, if it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. You're not only given the dimensions, but what the wall in the city looked like. Jasper walls. Red walls surrounding a city of pure gold like unto clear glass. As I said, nothing will be able to enter into the new heavens, new earth, and heavenly Jerusalem that will mar its pure perfection. But all those there will know it was only the one shed of blood of Christ that enables you to be there, and the color of the 216-foot wide walls. I am safe, if I dare put it this way, I'm safe within these red walls. I'm safe within these jasper-colored walls because the Lord died to save me from my sins. He died to save me from the penalty of those sins, the power of those sins, and the very presence of those sins. But a city of pure gold, like unto clear glass, clear as crystal, nothing will need to be hidden or want to be hidden. Who wants to live in a glass house today? Easily broken, and how many don't want others to know what goes on behind the walls that they are using to hide what they are doing from others? No one in the New Jerusalem will ever be ashamed of what they are thinking, saying, or doing, and no one will be ashamed of hearing or seeing what another glorified saint is saying or doing. There will be no night there, because all there will have nothing to hide. Is there a reason the non-believer mocks and ridicules the truths pictured in Revelation? Because he or she does so much to hide what will be exposed on Judgment Day. But then it will be too late for them, even as it was for all those outside the ark in Noah's day. But returning to this glorious revealed picture of the everlasting home of true believers in Christ, verses 19 and 20, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. Now, I'm not going to describe the colors of each of these gemstones that garnish the foundations of the wall of the heavenly Jerusalem. But if you want a fascinating study of their beauty, just put the gemstone in the search box on the internet, then click images, and you will see the beauty of these precious stones. How many cities made by man have their foundations garnished with any of these precious stones listed? None of them that I am aware of. The foundations of the cities of fallen men are buried in the ground out of sight. What is being pictured here? Again, the glorious nature of what lies ahead for those enabled by the amazing grace and mercy of God to enter into the presence of God when Jesus returns. Further seen by what John and you are told the gates are made of, verse 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. 12 pearl gates made of 12 pearls for a city that is 1,500 miles high, and a wall surrounding it of 216 feet wide. I'd hate to see the clam that came from. But the wonder, the beauty, the gloriously glorious nature of the city picturing the glorified bride of Christ is further seen by what the street is paved with. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. As you try to wrap your mind around what is being pictured for believers, think of what it must have been like for the imprisoned apostle John. Friends, if more difficult days are ahead for the Church of Christ in America, what do you need a better understanding of? What lies ahead for you as revealed to John? Because what will not be needed? Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. Or the temple of it, excuse me. What folly is being displayed by those hungering and thirsting for a man-made, unneeded temple to be built in earthly, lost, religious Jerusalem based on a false, Christ-dishonoring understanding of Daniel 9? When none will be needed when the Lord returns. Not only will no temple be needed, but verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. The Lamb is the light thereof. How many have foolishly and dangerously made an idol of the sun, treating created things as absolutely necessary for man to exist? Friends, the only one needed to guide you and sustain you in the new Jerusalem forever will be the living God through his glorified incarnate Son, the Lamb of God. What will it be like to be in the presence of God through the Lord Jesus Christ without any sin to hinder our enjoyment of being in his glorious presence? Who is able to do justice to what is being pictured here? Not this preacher. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief, as the wicked world tries to get me to think that this life is all there is and all that matters, and to prevent leaving it, roll up your sleeve and take the jab. Because who will make up the population of the heavenly Jerusalem? Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. The only message this dying world needs is the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's the only message that reveals the message of salvation that all nations of dying men need. And who will be serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the heavenly Jerusalem? And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. What do the fallen kings and rulers of this fallen world do? They serve themselves. What will every class of redeemed sinner from king to pauper be doing in the heavenly Jerusalem? Serving the Lord and one another. The gift of being able to serve God and your fellow redeemed saints will be more glorious and fulfilling than all the fleeting glory and honor of all the unsaved leaders in the world today and throughout time. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the New Jerusalem than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Because what will it be like to serve God and your glorified brothers and sisters in Christ there? A serving of God and one another that will never become a burden or something you need to rest from. Why? Do I say this? Verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. We need to sleep because of our fallen bodies due to the effects of the fall on our natural father, Adam. No need to sleep in the heavenly Jerusalem. Because you will never get tired needing darkness to sleep. God neither slumbers nor sleeps. Glorified saints never tiring as they see all those there with them using all they have been given to the glory of God and the good of their fellow citizens of the New Jerusalem. Verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But how will it be possible for such a place to exist? How will it be possible for such a place to exist? The total absence of a particular type of man. Verse 27 again. And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Unbelief in the Word of God, the Holy Bible, is the reason for all the problems this lost world is presently facing and will continue to face until the Lord returns. For His glorified bride is a reason so many mock and reject the truths revealed in the book of Revelation because they don't want to face what they are living for, namely everything and anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, shows that they will not enter into this glorious place. So gloriously described by the Lord, because they reject and get offended at the truth that only the Lord can make anyone fit to enter in and enjoy the glories described. How many are so depraved that they refuse to face the truth that only the Lord can make anyone fit to enter into the heavenly Jerusalem? And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Have you fled to the Lamb in repentance and faith so that the truths revealed to John in these verses by the resurrected, ascended, reigning, and returning Lord Jesus Christ for His glorified bride apply to you? Do you believe them? Do you believe what is pictured in these verses? Are you feeding your redeemed soul on them despite the lying world you were saved out of and are still surrounded by? Because the reality they are pointing to, that they are so gloriously picturing, is closer than when you first believed, believer. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, if it is extremely difficult to try and open up the truths being pictured in these verses because they are so wondrous and at times mind-boggling. What will their reality be for all those your Son died for? Lord, give us the wisdom in the times we're living to feed ourselves on the truths of these wonderful truths when we are surrounded by a world that's constantly trying to make us afraid, constantly trying to say you must take this or that jab if you want to live and be happy, all the while rejecting and ignoring the wonderful truths that lie ahead for the redeemed of the Lord. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. That day is coming, Lord. Grant us the wisdom to keep our eyes on its truth. In Jesus' name, amen.